Drive your lunchtime dollars further with the Subway $5 everyday value range. Delicious value with four Subway 6-inch subs at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional costs for extras. The Big
Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Cult Chisel getting back together.
Cult Chisel are getting back together. Thank you very much. Welcome to the catch-up intro. Oh. It's very interesting you should say that because a new show has gone on sale for Brisbane for a day on the green.
Yes, so I saw this.
Yeah, they were doing one.
I've got some friends going.
This
but
is
they
down
were
to your place.
Yeah, it's Sarah May Winery. Yeah. But I've got some friends going. They bought tickets, but then one of the girls went, poor Kelly's not playing the Brisbane leg. He's only playing the Canberra leg or something. So she was a bit disappointed. But
so good show, though. It's Cold Chisel, Birds of Tokyo, Magic Dirt are back together, which is really cool.
Well, how did Paul Kelly get involved in your conversation?
He's a part of the tour, but he's only doing certain legs of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and she had bought the tickets because she wanted to see Paul Kelly, but then realised he's not playing the Sarah May leg of the tour.
I've never done those days in the green. How many songs do they do band do? Like, do they do 6, 8, 10, 12?
Like a little festival, so it depends. You know, the earlier set, Magic Dirt might do 40 minutes.
What
did
Magic Dirt do? Remind me.
I saw them
Plastic
at
Loveless Letter.
Big Day Out.
Yeah.
A long time ago when Metallica was there.
Yeah.
I was working that day.
Anyone disappointed the presidents of the USA aren't a thing anymore?
They are.
Millions of peaches.
Yeah, they still get around.
Beaches for free.
What was that song about? I'd
Dune
like to know
buggy.
That.
They did a couple, didn't they?
Yeah. And they had one other.
Kitty at my foot and I want to touch it.
Does anyone know what their songs were about?
No. I don't think they did. I think they were under the influence when they wrote them. It wouldn't surprise me.
All of their songs.
Hey, plenty on the catch-up today. Michael Checker has resigned as Wallabies coach. Not a bad thing.
Hey, did you have a look at his haircut? Like, you know the little island on the front there? He shaved it, but it's sort of still
and he's
there.
Bald
what do you do about
all
that?
It's happening, isn't it?
It's quite incredible. As a bald man myself, once you go to the island, you just get rid of it. But his island is really sticking around.
It seemed to be prominent.
Maybe hair implants? Is he looking at that option? Do you have to grow it to be able to pluck it, to be able to then replug it?
Doesn't look, because you wouldn't choose that pattern.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
You'd probably choose like full coverage.
Yeah.
It's quite intense, that hair plugging thing. We had a friend that did it and he looked like a plucked
chook
for a little
while. Was his name Darren Lockyer?
No, it wasn't.
He did also have it too. Has he started cutting his hair really short? Is it like the drought as trees just started dying?
Are we raising funds for his hair? Or is that what you're
saying? Well, he was dying.
It's unbelievable. It's like doing it, but then you got to spend a lot of money to keep it around.
It's high maintenance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I didn't do it. It's so much money.
Wally did originally, and this is Wally Lewis.
Big Wally,
Kings of Rugby League. Mm. He tried to originally, but he did the spray on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think they all do that. Didn't Andrew Johns get done recently for having the spray?
Do you think it's suspicious that Channel 9's football personalities, not one of them has a grey hair?
The can in Woolworths.
I reckon.
Hey, you had a great grand final story too, one we hadn't heard.
Oh, the beauty about an identical twin. God, you can get into a lot of nonsense like being an identical twin.
And the Masked Singer salaries have been revealed.
I was quite intrigued by this, Marto.
They paid Wendell Saylor to sing.
Yeah. And it's not much, but it was still overs.
Yeah, still too much.
That's bad, isn't it? When people say, is commercial TV dying? Mm. And you go, nah, surely there's something good. And you go, hold on, you gave who how much to sing?
Mm.
All right, maybe it is going down.
$100 BCF voucher would have done me for Wendell's mail.
What would have been your song if you got on there?
Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
Yeah. No, not you, Nick.
I don't know.
I've heard you rap it. It's very good.
All right. Now, my go-to, now we'll let you get back to yours, but Human League.
Don't you want me?
Yeah. I know every word to that song.
The girl and the boy bit.
Mm.
Wow.
Kath and I will often sing that.
Oh, as a duet. That is incredibly lame.
Christmas party.
I picked you as a Captain and Tennille kind of duo. Yeah.
Oh, no, too slow. See, we'd be a horse. I'd be out the back there and Kathy would be out the front.
Hey,
who's in there?
What you do in your spare time is none of our business.
I'd be a horse. You can justify it however you wish.
Enjoy the catch-up.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Pretty clear the Wallabies are out of the World Cup, and thank goodness probably because they weren't good enough. Can I give you a big world picture of rugby? How the World Cup started in 1987, okay? This is the ninth edition. And what's happened? There were 20 teams at the start of this World Cup. There's now only four left. And to put it in the big picture, there's only four teams that have won the Rugby World Cup. The New Zealands have won it three times. South Africans have won it twice. England's won it once and we've won it twice. Okay? They're like the growing
good
ups.
Odds.
So what normally happens at the World Cup, and it's been repeated on many occasions, is as of this coming weekend, there's four teams left. There's semi-finalists. Normally, those four adults are sitting at the table and all the kiddies have been told to go and watch telly or mm-hmm. something, okay? Mm. But unfortunately, Australia has now become one of the kiddies.
We're at the kids' table.
We're at the kids. We're downstairs playing on the swings while the parents are having a drink after dinner, okay?
So who's left? England?
So the World Cup semi-finals are England versus New Zealand, and England will cop it from New Zealand because they are playing the way the gods meant rugby to be played at the moment. England are a bunch of really big bullies that will get their comeuppance this weekend. South Africa will hammer Wales. If you couldn't wait up last night, South Africa gave it. They squished the dream of Japan and beat them 26-3.
So England v South Africa final, you reckon, Marto?
England v... No. New Zealand versus South Africa final.
Sorry.
And that will be a ding-dong battle. That's in 2 weeks' time. Let's talk about Australia. Weren't quite good enough. And, of course, we said they weren't going to be good enough. And we said we had a coach who refused to acknowledge that the opposition was important when you're playing in a team sport. He just looked across and said, I don't want to analyse. He's picked the wrong combinations. He hasn't picked combinations. He's chopped and changed everything. He's done everything against what is logically expected of an international team, using intelligence, using analysis, using good coaches, and we fell down. And at the end of it, well, Checker got dirty straight after the game because people said, well, I guess that's the end. And he had always said, if we don't win the World Cup, I will step down. That's what he'd always said, and a journo was doing his job and asked the question.
It's a cruel, cruel world nowadays when you're asking those questions 2 minutes after the World Cups. We've been knocked out of the World Cup. And if you'd find it inside you to find a little bit of compassion for people who are hurting, you should think about people's feelings for a minute. Just chill.
Okay.
I actually felt really sorry for him in that moment because, like, I get journos have a job to do and they want to whack him because accountability and all that, but there was such devastation and disappointment on those boys' faces.
Did you watch it Saturday night? I took myself, I know we weren't going to win. I knew we weren't going to win. I said it all last week, but somehow I thought when Corey Abetti took that, scored that try and we got within a point, I thought, hello, we're on here. Mm. We are on here. But I overlooked it and I've been tricked again. We were out-thought, we were out-coached, we were out-manoeuvred, we were out-strategized, we were dumb. We played really, really dumb and I should have seen it happen. If you want to know, Nick, just to tell you, how he got the job was in 2014, okay? The last World Cup was 2015 and there was mad panic. Ewan McKenzie was doing a great job as the coach, but there was an alleged affair and I never want to see the sex tapes if they exist.
Oh.
All right? They were both large people. And
everybody needs love, Marto.
So he stepped away. He said, I've had a gutful. Ewan McKenzie stepped away all of a sudden. Checker said, I'll take the job. But he said, here are my requirements. I want this, this, this. He had absolute control.
But he was quite successful, yes? Didn't he go to a World Cup and win in the first year or something?
No, they got to the final of the last World Cup. Oh. So therefore it was proven. Oh, right, we gave Checker all the power. Let's keep on giving him all the power. So that's the problem. He's had all the power until the rug got pulled only in the last 12 months and he didn't like being told what to do. And that's when the problems, that's when he got real niggly. That's when he used to ring Fox Sports and say, can you tell that bloke to stop saying nasty things? And of course, Fox Sports have got the exclusive contract with Rugby Australia.
So
then we'd get a dressing down. Oh, you can't make fun of Michael Checker anymore. You can't say bad things about them. You can't tell the truth virtually. He has had carte blanche. He has had full control for 5 years. It's because they were that
Australia's
desperate.
Fault.
That's Rugby Australia's fault.
Yeah.
Then on the way out the door yesterday, he's kicked them. I think Dobbo's been planted in the news. He's kicked the CEO, he's kicked the chairman because a year ago they pulled him into line and said, hey, mate, we're going to bring in this overseer to make sure that what you're doing is actually right because he hadn't been winning any games. Australian Rugby Union right now will be blowing up from the top all the way down. We've got some really good kids coming through. We beat New Zealand finally in the schoolboys. We beat New Zealand in the under-20s. We're on the up and up. If we get rid of this era, the whole thing needs to be obliterated and start again.
So who takes the job now, Marto?
I'm hearing a terrible rumour that there's a New Zealander called Dave Rennie has already been virtually signed. I don't want another Kiwi to coach our national team.
So
our
who
national
coaches?
Rugby team, we've got to find somebody.
Okay. What about you?
No. Jesus Christ. Almost
you know
sounds like a
about
fun job.
Rugby union, Marto.
No, I'd like Brad Thorne to be involved. I want Australians to coach an Australian team. Full stop.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
coming towards the end of the year, boys, and I'm feeling a little bit itchy. I was just saying to my husband, I'm ready to
need
go
moisturizer?
Somewhere.
No,
I need to go somewhere. I'm feeling the travel itch is starting to come upon me. I haven't been anywhere this year. Normally, we try and do one or two trips throughout the year, somewhere with the kids and then somewhere just with us. But we haven't done anything this year because we've been a little bit busy and we just haven't had a chance to go anywhere. You know,
so you go in the caravan with the kids, but you're talking about going
a lot.
Good holiday with your husband.
Talking about somewhere international, fly somewhere, you know, be waited on, you know, indulge in the cuisines and the cultures and the landscapes of somewhere other than Australia.
So get drunk, fall over. Yeah, get drunk, fall over without the kids around the next morning.
Possibly.
That's all we're after.
And I love going overseas, but I hate coming home. And not for the fact that I don't want to be back in Australia, but for the fact that you have to fill out that customs declaration card while you're sitting on the plane on your way home and you have to answer all the questions. And
I always feel what worries you? Yeah.
Well, no. Are you bringing in steroids, a prohibited firearm? What are you
Have you got more than $10,000 in cash?
Well, I feel like it's a test and I feel the pressure of not filling it out correctly because I don't want to end up in some Balinese prison or in trouble because I like to abide the law. I'm a bit of a stickler for the rules.
We'll do so.
And so
don't copy the guy next to you, especially if he's sweating and he looks like he might be importing stuff.
8 kilo of raw pork again.
It happens. And I sit there and I think, because I do a bit of shopping and especially when I go to Bali, I love their homewares and their decor and it's so much cheaper than here in Australia.
So
you know,
you're one of the threats to our bio industries.
Well, I've bought, you know, shell cuttlefish back. I've bought wooden items back. And but when they ask you,
I never buy
shells back, like just randomly off the beach. And you think if you buy it in a shop.
Oh, what's the ruling on that?
Legalised. Well, I think they say, you know, if you've been in a muddy area or contaminated with animals, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I never do any of that. And I always say, no, I haven't done that. But then when they get you on the wood and the shell, have you picked up shells from the beach? Are you bringing them back? Like, well, no, but I did buy like a necklace with shells in it from a shop. But that should be okay because that's regulated and standardized. So
I tick no. Are we talking Bali again?
But I'm like, if I tick no because I think I'm in the right, you know, I get in trouble for it if they pull me up at the other end. But if I tick yes and then they take it off me, well, that was a waste of a trip then and $80 on my shell necklace. So I kind of feel
pick up the people who are dodgy in your mind. Do you reckon?
I reckon if you've gone to Bali more than twice, they should just pull you aside anyway. Go, what's going on here, mate? How many wooden Buddhas do you have at your place, Margot?
You're running a market stall.
Do you have any wooden Buddhas?
I don't know, yes. A couple.
See, that's exactly the response.
What about those? What about the bottle openers? You've seen those, you know, the Balinese traditional bottle openers that are a wooden phallic symbol. Have you seen them?
Yeah,
we've got a couple of them.
I brought three of them.
We've got a couple of them in our bar.
A wooden penis bottle opener.
Have you ever seen
that?
Oh,
like Indonesian culture.
As is
that
the custom.
Muslim country. They always use penis-shaped bottle openers.
Aren't they the best present to give somebody? They open up at Christmas and go, you got me.
My girlfriends love them.
Sure they do. Okay.
So. But there's, you know, there's more sinister stuff than, you know, that. Well, let's have a listen to this guy.
This Indian passenger has failed to declare a large amount of prohibited plant material and seeds he is carrying.
I mean, I'm not intentionally trying to smuggle plants and seeds into the country. Like, I'm just trying to get in, a wooden bottle opener and those sorts of things. But I always feel like I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get the rubber glove, you know, like that sort of treatment.
No, what?
Have you ever been pulled up in customs for having anything illegal that you shouldn't have had, Marto?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, but no one's ever threatened me with the rubber glove.
Have you ever had to declare that you had something illegal?
No.
That they check?
No. I used to have to whenever we go to New Zealand because of that one, have you been playing in the mud and you know, have you visited a farm? We always had muddy. They used to make us pull out a football
boots.
Hold on.
Did you just try and ram that you're a wallaby into the customs form? Is that
there it is. Former wallaby. When were you stopped at customs? Why were you held up? Did you make it through? Did you go to jail for a very long time?
Yeah, I want to know.
A couple flew to New York from England, okay, and they had a spare bag for hand luggage, stuff they were going to buy over there. Okay. These guys said, you might like to come and see us. And they took them into the back room. We haven't got anything. What have we got? They said, how do you explain this? Open up their bag. They had three cats. One of them used to hiding in bags.
Oh.
Had taken the cat, unfortunately.
Unknown.
Accidentally overseas.
Did the cat survive?
Cat got sent. Yeah, cat got sent home, and her father came to the airport and picked it up.
Accidentally.
Customs. Oh, why would you take a cat on
Joyce would have been all over that. Jason from Dara, what have you seen come through customs?
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, hey, good, Jace. Mate.
I actually destroy all the stuff that comes through customs. And the amount of fluffy handcuffs you see each week that come through, and knives and anything shaped like a gun.
Oh, bringing them back from where mainly, Jace? Do you ever find that out?
I don't want to say too much.
Marta, have you ever been pulled up for having your fluffy handcuffs in your luggage?
That's good. That's nice police, isn't it, in that country?
What's the worst thing you've seen, Jason?
Probably the guns.
Fireworks?
Jason? Fireworks, bullets.
Yeah.
Bullets are, illegal knives and stuff like that.
I think fireworks should be allowed.
Oh, God.
No?
Putting fireworks under a plane. That is just a new episode of Air Crash Investigations written all over it.
True. Okay, righto. Dave,
keep
the
doing
Sunny
your
Coast.
Hand luggage.
How did you hold up customs? What did you try and bring back?
Well, it's funny. I'd lived in the UK for quite some time, and I went and saw the Doobie Brothers at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Right on.
And I'd had a couple of bevvies, and mate, the drummer right at the end of the show just flicked one of the drumsticks across the stage. Mate, I just went fantastic. Put it in the mail, sent it back to Dad's place in Toowoomba. All the Dad got was probably a pretty nasty letter saying, you're on our list. Don't ever send any because it was untreated timber, so I got a really nasty letter from customs. Probably by the sound of it, Jason's got it hanging up in his back shed if he's the one that destroys stuff.
They confiscated.
They wouldn't give it to him.
Your drumstick.
Did they not believe you because you said it was from a Doobie Brothers concert? And they go, one drumstick, that's more Def Leppard, mate. Don't lie.
or anything from the Doobies. I got told once, if it can burn, they will smoke it.
Okay.
Hence the name.
Hence the name. So, never got the drumstick. The bar in the back shed's never been the same since.
Oh.
Amazing. Yeah. This may ease the pain. You've got a Hoppy Superwash voucher, thanks to Ian Healy.
How long ago was that story, Dave?
Our mates at Hoppy's Handwash Cafe, Bowen Hills, Norman Park, Toowong on the Gold Coast. How long ago did this happen, Dave?
About 2013.
Oh.
The Doobie Brothers.
Still going
strong.
Oh, I didn't realise.
Sounds great.
Unbelievable. Dave really likes the Doobie Brothers.
My mum loved the Doobie Brothers.
I just love that they're still sad in the bar out the back because of a missing drumstick.
It's the Big Breakfast.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
Big sports weekend this weekend, obviously. I assume all of us were tuned in to Perth Glory versus newcomers Western United.
No.
Oh, well, you missed out on an absolute one-all banger in front of 6,000 people. So
big crowd.
But the new story coming out of it, Perth Glory were forced to wear their training jerseys because Qantas lost their kit in transit.
So they're obviously travelling to Sydney to play against...
No. Western United's
Melbourne team. Sorry if I haven't caught up with my A-League team.
I can't believe you've got a woman's day in front of you, but not an A-League monthly.
He's a yenter, our motto.
All right, so they turned up in Melbourne. They didn't have jerseys.
But they had their training jerseys, and they've had to, which I find, I don't know if this ever happened in all your sporting years, Marta. Any team you ever had to play for, have they ever had to print names on the back of jerseys at the last minute?
Not in pen, you mean?
They said they actually had to get them printed. I would have assumed that's a texter job, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Who's got the nicest handwriting?
Most of those big sporting stores, like I know when I buy my boys a jersey at the beginning of the season, I go and get their names put on the back of them, and you just go to one of those big sporting stores and you pick out the lettering and they do it on the spot with a hot press.
We're here in Brisbane and you're looking for a Broncos jersey. You can't turn up to Melbourne to a Rebel Sport and you go, g'day, I need 18 Perth Glory jerseys. They're going to go, what? Who? Why?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
It's that time of year, late October, when exams at universities and schools coming up, etc. And what a moment those exams are.
Stressful.
What a time. Very stressful.
A lot of pressure.
Did you ever cheat? Did you ever write anything, wear a jumper and write anything on your arm? Or I used to do it on my upper leg and then just pull my shorts up. Have you been caught?
Yeah, I failed an exam.
For cheating?
For cheating.
Which exam?
Instant dismissal. Maths. I wrote like an algebra equation on the inside of my wrist. Same thing. Pulled the jumper down.
You know the reality.
And I got caught and I got dismissed from class and I failed the exam.
What grade?
9.
Oh, okay. You pushed on nicely after that, though.
Yeah, I did well.
The reality is you would have remembered that, though, just by writing it on your hands. You probably didn't need to look.
Yeah, I didn't.
All right. Now, did you ever hate it? Did you ever cover your answers? You know, when you're at school and you used to cover your answers and the kid next to you used to look?
I hated the kids that covered their answers.
Yes. Well, extraordinary scenes, extraordinary photos, if you have a look on the internet this morning, are coming out of southern India where a pre-university college, they were doing chemistry and maths exams. Mm. And they're sick of people copying off each other, okay? And that happens when you sit close to someone. The tendency is, especially if that kid next to you is writing, and going, Christ, he knows or she knows what she's doing. What's going on there? They've made all the kids bring a box to school and cut the front out, Ned Kelly style almost, put the box over their head.
What?
Yes, because then you can't, there's no side glances.
No peripheral vision,
and you'd have to turn the box to look, so it's very obvious. And they've gotten a little bit of trouble from the Indian Education Department because they're saying, we haven't sanctioned this. You can't go making kids put a box on their head to sit their exam. Bit of trouble brewing there, Nick.
Surely the smartest kid in that room just puts the box on the table, the paper in the box, and fills it out, you know, like in a voting booth where you're covered from cardboard?
That's a great idea.
On the sides there?
Well, they said
if you put the paper in the box and then write through the nobody can see it anyway. And you don't have to look like a dickhead in a poor cardboard Ned Kelly outfit.
Imagine walking past that classroom, you know, like doing a show and tell of the school. And here we have the great age. What are they doing?
I had a mate in high school that he had a lazy eye out to the side of his head. And in one exam, he was down the front left-hand corner of the room.
Yes.
And up the back right-hand corner was my mate Nick Novak, who at one point yelled out, "Oi, James, stop looking at my answers."
Oh, no.
Poor James.
And I laughed until the end of year 12. That was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Well, I'm finding it very unpredictable at the moment, the fuel prices.
Oh, my God, you're not alone. There's something really weird. I've never seen it like this in my life. The low compared to the high, the disparity. Well, the news was telling us last night on 9.
Coles Express and Caltex leading the charge. 7-Eleven not far behind. Premium is even worse at around $1.96.9 a litre. The 7-Eleven is selling standard unleaded for 37 cents a litre cheaper.
And that's what I've just noticed. 37 cents a litre. Between the highs and the low. Let's say unleaded 91. Unleaded, okay, 91. So in some suburbs, it's $1.73.9. But right next to them in a lot of suburbs, it's $1.35. You're right.
How do they get away with this?
Because they can, because you'll be travelling on the road and you look down and you'll need some fuel and you'll be too lazy. But do you know, if there is that much, so it's a 37 cents a litre difference, if you're going to say, let's say an average 70 litres, you need your tank filled up. $24.
Wow.
$24 extra, that servo. I'll show you this. What do you call this, okay? So what I would say with the more affluent suburbs in Brisbane, so let's say Ascot, Hamilton, through to Albion, through to Newstead and Tenerife, every single servo, I've got this fuel app on, okay? Every single one. So there's 15 in that area. Every one of them is $1.73.9 or very close to that, okay? But as soon as you go outwards to Brisbane, to Nunda, Virginia, and that sort of thing, they're all $1.36.
So postcode they're saying, discrimination.
Is there a term for postcode discrimination?
Just
same
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Down through Holland Park, there are a couple of servos that are $1.73, but there's most of them $1.38. They haven't put their – all I'm saying is – get your fuel right now. If you can see a servo that you're driving past with unleaded 91 at $1.37, fill up because they're all going to come on board. It's going up to $1.70 by the looks of it.
And even better, you don't have to worry about money after 8 o'clock.
Thank you.
Beat the Bowser. The Masked Singer salaries have been revealed. Some of them getting paid real unders there, Margot.
They certainly are.
Going to reveal them
really?
All next.
Yeah. How much did Wendell Saylor really deserve?
Well, not as much as he got, I reckon.
Big Breakfast on Triple M.
All of us started talking this morning about the longest flight ever by Qantas from New York to Sydney, nearly 20 hours, considering we all do it tough in economy flying to Bali.
That's a long time. Whatever,
what were our take-homes from this incredible flight? They did some. They did a lot of medical tests on a heap of people, Nick. You're a keen airport airline man.
Oh, yeah, probably 100 times a year. I couldn't wait to watch this thing. The first thing that got me, though, there was only 50 passengers, right? No babies. So that flight's going to be a breeze.
God, that's right. And do you know, every one of them got a bed. Every person who was on the plane had a lie-down bed because it was an experiment that they were conducting. So
I got bumped up. I got bumped up to business one. If you're in a bed, guess what? You can fly for infinity hours. It's not actually flying. That's not the test.
That's a hotel.
The test is wedged in between two fatties for 3 hours. Mm. That's the true test.
That's right. And waiting to get a drink.
What do you do for 19 hours, though? Like, normally you have a glass of wine, you have a meal, you watch a movie, and then you sleep. Well, but right, 19 hours.
You make that singular plural. So you have lots of wines, lots of movies, lots of sleeps.
They made them stay up for the first 6 hours because they immediately switched on to Sydney time, okay? So they said first 6 hours. It was midnight in New York. So they've all lived a big day or whatever, hopped on the plane, and they would not let anyone go to sleep for 6 hours. And then they fed them. They fed them fed them stuff with a lot of spicy stuff in it to keep them awake, mustard sauce and all these things.
Keep them on the toilet, that's what it would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a point.
Carbs, lots of carbs, Marta.
No, before they went to sleep, they gave them carbs and then they turned the lights down and there were people going, I've never slept on a plane before and I slept for 8 hours.
They made them do exercise too, yoga and all sorts of stretching and dancing. And
this doesn't sound like an actual flight, though.
It sounds like a health retreat.
Wellness centre.
A lot of spicy food. If they forced me to eat spicy food on a 19-hour flight, I would go through wine because I'd want that cork at the end so I could just use that to...
Plug yourself up.
I'll wait until I land, thanks. They're going to know exactly who used the toilet. There's only 50 of you.
The thing I didn't like about it, though, was they said at the end, once they had landed, that there was only 70 minutes worth of fuel left. So that they were talking about how great the fuel consumption was and could they get there without having to stop over.
What did you think about a headwind?
I was like,
What about a headwind? I would have made it.
A lot more fuel than 70 minutes worth as a backup just in case something was to go wrong.
Yeah, you think flying the other way would be smarter because then once you're over LA heading towards New York, you've got all that land if something goes wrong.
You don't want to pass
like Tahiti and Vanuatu and go, oh, no, we've run out.
Oops, a daisy.
I don't think we're going to make it to Sydney.
Isn't that how they discovered Fiji and stuff? They didn't discover, but they found a lot of islands because they were flying, trying to fly from the States to Australia and went, oh, run out of fuel. What's that over there? And look at this little island.
Well, now that they've done all the human experiments on the 19-hour Qantas flight, hopefully scientists can figure out the toughest flight of all. How do people handle a 3-hour tiger flight? Is that fit for humans? I don't know if it is.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Margot, really enjoyed the last few weeks working with you, and we find out more about you all the time. It's been great. Can we just play this from Friday? We didn't get a chance to address this because we were all trying to get out the door as fast as possible. Now, I can't remember. What were we talking about here, Brenda? Do you remember we were having a discussion about something or other? Well, anyway.
You'd hope.
You can't just make up words, okay?
Why not?
You're not a rugby league. Only if you're a rugby league commentator, they can make up words, okay, because they're in a hurry. Now, you've just got to choose your time and try to stick to English.
Always flexing his intellectualness.
Oh, no.
If you're going to use the word intellectual, just leave it alone and stop adding letters that aren't allowed to be added.
Oh, I'm not as eloquent as you, Marta. I haven't worked in radio as long as you. And sometimes I struggle to find the words because my brain and my mouth work at different times. And one is quicker than the other. I'm not sure sometimes which one's
quicker.
But it'd be my mouth because my mouth says things and then my brain catches up and I'm like, no, hang on, that wasn't right. Intellectualness is not a word, Margot, but it's not until I get the microphones turned off that I realise.
Oh, you
and
did
then
realise.
I go, oh, bugger, it's intellect that I should have said, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's good.
Thank you.
We all learned something. Happy? I thought I'd get that out of the way before everyone else started listening.
This will not be the first and this will not be the last, Marta. No. I'm sure you could compile a whole little folder full of Margoisms and you would have a lot of fun with it.
Can we do that, Brenda?
Certainly.
Okay.
That's one.
Oh, there'll
be
more.
You had a go at me about saying that summer is the 1st of November, but it was actually a question. I wasn't making a statement. I'm like, is summer the 1st of November? Because that's my whole thinking out loud.
How many days in August?
30 days, that's September, June and November. 31.
No. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
The big breakfast on June 11.
we spoke about this guy last week, South Sydney front row forward, Sam Burgess. He's not playing in the England team, a rugby league team at the end of season tour, but end of season games, because he's got a sore shoulder, but he's been in a bit of trouble. Have you seen this? New South Wales police have taken out a temporary apprehended violence order against Burgess on behalf of his father-in-law, Mitchell Hook, after an argument on Saturday. So he went down there. Sam went down to Hook's house. Now, Hook, so that must, what's the wife's name? Phoebe?
Phoebe.
This Mitchell Hook must be her old man.
Her father.
She's living down there. She's virtually hiding down there.
Moved back to the family home in Barrel.
Do you know anything about Barrel? It's a very, very, very wealthy and affluent area. And then I read about the old man. He was the former chief executive of the Minerals Resources Council of Australia.
Mm.
He actually was the person who lobbied to get rid of Kevin Rudd because he was trying to put a mining tax on in 2010.
Okay.
This man actually is a very powerful man.
High and mighty.
So can you imagine the disappointment he may have had? He would have thought his daughter was probably, he's well-educated,
private school girl.
And I'm wealthy, and therefore, you know, those people from Sydney that think they're quite rich.
She'll would probably thought, marry into wealth.
She'll marry a financial, you know, expert or
doctor.
A doctor, and she ends up coming home with some pommy git. And I don't think he's been happy for some while. So he rang the police. Apparently, Sam went over there to visit the children, etc., and everything was probably going all right. There was no violence, but it didn't end very well. There was some sort of altercation. And is this the right way to go about it?
It's a very sad set of circumstances.
When the father-in-law is taking an AVO, so he's overly protective of his daughter, he thought she could go better, and she's ended up with Sam Burgess. And, this is very, very sad.
It's a rough hit, isn't it, on Burgess? Let's not play around. That guy, you can tell what he does for a job.
What does he do for a job? Running into other humans at high velocities.
Using his face by the looks of these. He's not a fan of the rap tackle.
And as a father of a daughter.
Within the family, because the other brothers are all relatively quiet. Calm and sophisticated, aren't they, in comparison?
They're 122 kilograms.
No, I know, but I mean, like,
their job is to be violent.
They behave themselves, like Tom and George, and there's another one, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the other one.
But they all seem to manage to stay out of trouble. But Sam seems to find himself in a bit of hot water regularly and consistently.
But I don't know whether he. I don't know who's at wrong. It's
do
not for
think,
me to decide.
Do you think
but
the father-in-law has had a lot to myself. Say with this?
I just think about myself.
I don't want you with that bloke. He's no good for you, and you're not allowed to see
There's
him anymore.
There's a lot of that going on. You're
Maybe
better.
That's
you're
the altercation.
Better than that.
And Sam's like, this has not got nothing to do with you. You know, I'm her husband, and we will sort it out.
And that's our
stay
child.
Out of it. And they're like, well,
that's
get off
child.
My property.
Yep.
I'm not leaving.
Next thing you know, the shotgun. And then Russell Crowe comes Turns visiting up. On his. Yeah, and then he brings Spud
Wayne
Carroll.
Wayne Bennett.
And, yeah, Wayne Bennett gets in for this. Could be ugly.
What? Margo, you've got a great voice for an argument. That sounded great when you went up there.
Get out of here.
Get off the bloody property.
That's what I have to do to the kids in Logan.
There's a ute doing a burnout in the background with that voice yelling over it.
She holidays in caravan
they
park.
They spray paint my front fence. Go the Cowboys.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Saturday morning, I'm at home watching the UFC. There was a Friday night American card on. Normally they're on a Saturday night, which makes it Sunday here in Australia, but thankfully, this weekend was Friday night in Boston, which makes it Saturday morning here. I was watching because there was a heavyweight fight with an Aussie fighter in there. It's his first UFC fight, a guy by the name of Ben Sasoli, and he was fighting a heavyweight who's been on a bit of a tear, a bloke by the name of Greg Hardy. Now, Greg Hardy is an ex-NFL player. He was a gun in the NFL. Like, could have been one of the best of all time.
What position did he play NFL and who for? Anyway, was he famous?
Defensive end.
Defensive end.
So he's one of the guys that tackles the quarterbacks. Big unit. He played for Dallas Cowboys and Carolina Panthers. He got in trouble for domestic violence. He's what is known in some circles as a piece of shit. But
what did you say the Australian guy's name was? Ben.
Ben Sasoli.
It's not a very, you know, aggressive sounding name.
No, but Sasoli. He'd be an Islander background, would he?
Yep. And both lads weighed in at 120 kilos, and they've cut weight to make that.
Do we fare well in UFC? Is it a sport that we do well at in Australia?
Yeah, Aussies are going pretty well.
Okay.
Aussies and Kiwis together.
I don't really
in on it.
About the size of Nelson. Really, Gary Nelson from Bali, and also Melbourne Storm, of course. About the same size. This is what we're talking.
Yeah, I was watching the fight. I don't think there were as many punches thrown as Nelson got up to. We should get Nelson in there. He's pretty good. But Greg Hardy, in between rounds, now, when the round, there were 3 5-minute rounds, in between the rounds, they go to their respective corners, they go over, you know, they get some rest, they get some water, coach is telling them the strategy for the next round.
They get a massage, yeah? They have a guy that stands behind them and loosens up all their muscles and...
Loosening them up. Sometimes, if they've got a bad cut, they'll have a cut man trying to fix that. Yeah. Or sometimes, if there's swelling, the guy will cut it and try and push the blood out so they can continue to see.
Brutal. Yeah.
Greg Hardy, though, in between rounds.
This is the NFL guy.
Yep, ex-NFL guy. He's asked for this.
Can I take my inhaler?
Where is it?
It's in my pocket.
Is it medical for
you? Yes. Yeah. He's auto approved.
Second time, let's go.
He's asked for his inhaler. Oh.
whose pocket was it in?
Well, he said it was in his pocket. But I doubt that.
Is that obstruction?
Because he's got his diaries in his phone in his other pocket. He didn't have room for everything.
It's a big breakfast, Triple M.
I know it's a couple of weeks since the NRL Grand Final, but on the weekend I heard a wonderful story that came out of it from the Roosters' victory, of course, over the Raiders.
Always good to have a good news story because we had so much bad stuff come out of the NRL Grand Final.
All
with
right.
The welcome to country, the penalties, the refs' calls, all sorts of stuff.
Well, this is a goodie. You remember, there's a young bloke called Sam Verrills. He started the game in jersey number 9 for the Roosters. Now, he's a 20-year-old kid. And at the end of the game, Jake Friend came on, who's co-captain of the Roosters. He came on and completed the game, okay? But for 14 games of this season, Sam Verrills is a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Playing his first season in NRL, he played 14 games because Jake Friend, the co-captain, had been injured. So Trent Robinson started with him, of course, and everything was good. So he played 14 games, won a premiership in your first year.
It's amazing.
Of course, he scored that first try for the Roosters after 6 minutes, dived over near the post. Are you with me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I only found out on the weekend young Sam Verrills, Nick, has got a identical twin called Oliver. So Ollie is identical twin. Of course, you know how close identical twins always are. All right, so Ollie turned up at the game with his jersey on, with Verrills across the back, with his Roosters jersey and number 9. Yeah, to support his identical twin. You spend time in the womb together for 9 months, you're always going to be close. So turns up, had jeans and a pair of just sneakers on, was there ready to go in the Roosters area, goes up, okay, 20 minutes, half an hour before the game, goes up to get some beers. The bloke in the queue behind him looks at him and he's an identical twin of Sam Verrills and says to him, he says, "What's happened? What's happened? Has Robbo dropped you? Is Jake Friend going to start the game?"
No.
And the guy's a big Roosters fan. And Ollie Verrills, who I wouldn't think as an identical twin, this is the first time this may have happened. He said, "Oh, mate, Robbo was worried. I told him how nervous I was." He said, "Go up there and get a couple of beers and sort yourself out." So the guys look, he said, "Righto, well, apparently the guy's gone, well, get out there and get into it then." And so can you imagine that guy 6 minutes into the game telling all his mates, going, "I swear, he's had a couple of beers and he's scoring a try. This bloke's incredible."
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Check out the Subway $5 everyday value range. 4 seriously good Subway 6-inch subs. Delicious value all day, every day at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional costs for extras.